to the Dance School Startup Mini Podcast, bringing you bite-sized advice each week to help you at the start of your dance school's journey. My name's Laura Gillam, and I've been a dance teacher for over 20 years and a school owner for over 14 years. I'm so excited to support you on your journey, and I look forward to getting to know you more in the Dance School Startup Facebook group. Hello everyone, it's Laura here over at Dance School Startup. I hope you guys are well and have had a really nice week. Big hello to all of our new listeners and welcome back to old listeners. And those of you who are back in the studio, I hope you're having a lovely time being back with your students live in the studio. So this week we're going to be talking a little about our sign up process, and I'm just going to highlight a few things that have come up in the group over the last few weeks, and they might seem obvious, but if there's something that you hadn't thought of before, then it's definitely worth highlighting to you today. Now, the first one is about telephone numbers. I was surprised to hear the amount of people that haven't got telephone numbers for people that have just inquired or signed up. They've just got the email address, which is absolutely fine. But what you need to remember is that sometimes these emails are going into the junk folders or spam folders and aren't being received. And in that case, you've got absolutely no other way of following up with a lead. There's been a few questions recently about how long you should leave it before you chase someone after an initial inquiry. And I've been explaining in the group that I usually leave it 48 hours to give someone a chance to have a read through an email. But if I don't hear from them after 48 hours, then I will follow it up with a phone call. Now, obviously, if you don't have their telephone number, that's going to become a bit of a problem. If they don't answer the phone, I can then leave a voicemail. And if they don't have a voicemail, then I can still send them a text message. So either way, I'm still getting that opportunity to chase them again, which I wouldn't be able to do if I didn't have their telephone number. And of course, if that email's gone into their spam, they're never going to see it. And that becomes a dead lead. Now, obviously, if they never respond to my phone call, my voicemail or my text message, then I know that that's a dead lead and I can delete it and stop wasting time on it. But unfortunately, unless I have an opportunity to do that, I'm never actually going to be sure whether that could have been a potential client or not. So the simplest way to make sure that you always have a telephone number is to make sure that when you have your sign up form, the field where they write the telephone number in is a required field. So what that means is that a client cannot submit their sign up form to you unless they have written in their telephone number in that field. It's required before they press submit. If you use Google Forms like me, and anyone who listens to me regularly will know I am a massive Google Form fan, it's really simple to just click required field when you create the question. So just make sure that you click that so that the little star comes up next to it and you will never miss out on a telephone number again. The next thing I want to speak about when it comes to your sign-up forms is really, really important part of your marketing, and that is going to be how you heard about us. Now, if you don't have a field at the moment on your sign-up form which asks that question, I urge you to do that as soon as possible because it will play a massive part in your marketing plan. It's going to give you a real insight into how people hear about you, and you can make sure that you're boosting that further or learning which areas perhaps aren't working so well in your marketing plan and giving that a boost also so that all areas are working well and strong for you and your business. Now, again, if you're using something like Google Forms, it's really easy for you to ask this question using tick boxes, but I'd make them really specific. So, for example, if you're asking, how did you hear about us? And one of your responses could be social media. Instead of social media, I would break that down into each platform that you use. So, for example, Facebook and Instagram. You can then get a really good idea about which platform is working better for you. If one of your responses is word of mouth, leave that so that you can actually write down who it was that referred them, because then you can make sure that you either thank the person that referred them, or perhaps you've got a referral system where they might be rewarded for referring. And in that case, you want to make sure that it goes to the right people. Another option could be, I saw a sign outside, or I walked past the venue, something like that. So think of ways that you could put that into a tick box. So you're giving people more specific options and it gives you a really good idea about how people are hearing about you. Now that leads me on to something else. If you don't currently have any kind of signage at the venue that you use, this is a really important thing to start considering. Now, some venues won't allow it, but to be honest, that is quite rare. So if you haven't had the conversation already, it might be worth you thinking about doing that sooner rather than later. Because most venues will allow you at least to have some form of sandwich board outside that's got your details on it, so that when you're on site and you're actually running your classes, anyone that walks past is able to see what's going on inside. And that could generate interest from a whole new crowd of people that perhaps wouldn't have seen you on other things like social media. If perhaps you're at a church hall, you might be allowed to hang up a banner over the railings outside when you're on site. Some places might allow that to be permanent for a very small fee. And to be honest with you, for the fee that they're going to charge, if it's reasonable enough, I think that's a really, really good form of advertising, especially if you're in an area that's got a lot of footfall. So, for example, I'm on a high street location, which is very, very busy. So it's great that I've got a lot of signage. And I know it's easier because I have my own premises. But regardless, if you don't have your own premises, have the conversation with somebody to make sure that you're not missing out on an opportunity to sell those classes. If you are in a village or anywhere that's got footfall, people will see those signs and they'll get in touch. Now remember, in the group, we do have a video available which talks through my sign up process step by step for anyone that was interested in learning how I do it. So if you're not in the group, make sure you come to Facebook and request to join. If you are about to start a school, have just started one, or in your first couple of years of business, come along and have a look at what we've got in the group and see the video where I talk about my sign up process step by step. Thank you so much for joining me for today's podcast. I hope you found that useful and took away some valuable information. If you're enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you could like and subscribe. And if you're listening on iTunes, perhaps even leave me a little review or share it with someone else who you think it may benefit. If you're just starting out or in the first 2 years of your dance school business, follow the link in the show notes to join us at the Facebook group.